Our sermon today is based on a reading from the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verses 6 through 11. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, have not perished. Ever since the days of your ancestors, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Will anyone rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how are we robbing you? In your tithes and offerings, you are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house, and thus put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. See if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you an ever-flowing blessing. Thank you, God, for all your promises, all of which you keep. We're up to my favorite letter in the alphabet, T. But today's sermon in our Through the Bible A to Z series touches on a word that some consider taboo. Yes, some people tend to shy away from the word tithe. However, it is that season of the year when many churches conduct their annual stewardship campaigns, and the T word gets trotted out and put on display, tithe, 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 or else. Our church does not do an annual stewardship campaign. This is from our policy handbook. It should be the policy of this church to not conduct an annual stewardship or faithful giving pledge drive or estimate drive in support of the current operating budget of the church. Rather, this church shall give emphasis to a strong spiritual growth program, believing that spiritual life and growth is the foundation for faithful giving. We believe that when the current operating budget is in the negative, the congregation shall respond with sufficient revenue to operate with a balanced income expense statement. That is all cool, and I am not here to push for or promote a stewardship campaign, but it never hurts to remind ourselves why we need to tithe. The reason is quite simple. It's not for the church, it's for us. The word tithe means 10%, a tenth. Its biblical foundation goes back to Father Abraham, who gave a tenth of all he accumulated to the priest Melchizedek after Abraham defeated the kings who had kidnapped Abraham's nephew, Lot. The mysterious Melchizedek could have been our focus for the letter M, but really there's so much to explore with him that he deserves his own sermon series. Was he a pre-incarnate Christ? After all, he served Abraham bread and wine and accepted Abraham's offering. Why does the New Testament in Hebrews say he was without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but resembling the Son of God, he remains a priest forever? If Abraham is us and Melchizedek is Christ, let's just say, perhaps the story of the initiation of the tithe is something God expects us to follow. The first reference in the Bible to tithing is in the Leviticus scripture we heard earlier, and it sets the tone and precedence for our lives and our tithes. All tithes from the land, whether the seed from the ground or the fruit from the tree, are the Lord's. They are holy to the Lord. I wonder why God chose the amount of 10%. Well, for me, it's because the math is easy. And in reality, 10% is not a big chunk. If you have a dollar, that's 10 dimes. You give God one dime and you still have 9 dimes left. God is judicious and gracious. God asks for just a small part of what we have received from God's hand, and there's still quite a lot left over for us. How could we begrudge God the part God asks for? Yet that appears to be what Malachi is getting at as he berates his fellow Israelites. As the exiles returned to Jerusalem, they were more focused on building their own houses and taking care of their own business than they were on making sure worship of God was their main focus. They were withholding the tithes and the temple and the priests and the Levites, and thus the very worship of God were suffering. The priests who tended the temple and prepared and offered the sacrifices were forced to go out and work because people were not giving the tithes that helped sustain and feed them. God was very indignant about it. He compared it to robbery. God was saying the main thing people needed to do was to restore right worship. And once that happened, everything else would fall into place. The people doubted God's goodness and promises and ability. God called on them to trust and obey. And there was to be no half-stepping. They were not to bring just a part of the tithe, what they felt they could spare. They were to bring the whole tithe, all of it, every bit. They were not to hold back and think, I'm going to save this part just in case I need it later. God offered them a challenge. Come ahead, bring it all. Don't skimp, don't hold back, don't hog or hoard. Try me, test me, trust me. Bring your entire tithe to me and see how I will bless you. I will bless you so richly that your hands will not be able to hold it all. The reference to the window of heaven would certainly hit home for the people. In times of disasters, such as during a drought, the metaphor was that God had shut up the windows of heaven, holding back the life-giving rain. It was a sign of God's displeasure. But when the windows of heaven were open, flung open wide so that goodness and blessings could pour down, that was a time of rejoicing. It was a sign of God's abundance, of God's blessing. Give me the tithe that I asked for, God says, and that window of blessings will never close. So indeed, tithing is a way for us to show that we trust God for all that we need. It's a way for us to show that we understand that every good and perfect gift comes from God. It's a way to show our love and gratitude to God for taking care of us and blessing us in many different ways. For us, no longer dependent on agriculture for our livelihoods, it's a matter of money. But as the Leviticus reading shows, tithing for the ancient Israelites entailed bringing to God bounty from their crops and their herds. These were the offerings that were used to feed the priests and enable them to concentrate on leading worship. The people were to bring all their offerings to God with joy and thanksgiving, without grudging and grumbling, for God loves a cheerful giver. The promise of God still stands for us. Tithing is a way to show our faithfulness. I acknowledge it isn't always easy. In the past, I've been down to my last few dollars, but I kept to my private pledge to try to tithe, and I've given what I promised to give, holding on to the hope that God would honor my giving. I'm not saying I won the lottery or anything, but God proved his reliability by getting me through some hard times and bringing me to a place where I want to give, and I can give, and so I do give. I'm almost afraid not to give. But here's the thing about tithing. It's private. It's between you and God. It's up to you to discern what God wants you to give. You make a private pact with God to give an acceptance of God's challenge to prove me now. And here's another thing about tithing. It's not a competition. It's not about you saying to someone else, how much do you give to God? Well, here's how much I give, so I win. But if we do it right and properly, God wins. And God's people win, because tithing is all about taking care of others. I'm reminded of the story about the three men talking about their giving. I take all my money and throw it up in the air, the first man said. Whatever lands face down, that's what I give to God. It's kind of what I do, the second man said, except whatever lands face up, that's what I give to God. Well, that's funny, the third man said. I do that too, except whatever stays up in the air, that's what I give to God. But tithing should not be a toss-up. Tithing should not be a toilsome task. Tithing isn't a taboo word. It's a good word. The tithe ties us to God. Tithing should be a moment of thanksgiving and rejoicing, remembering the blessings of God. Tithing is God's own invitation to us to join in the good work God is doing with us and with this church, in this community, in this state, in this country, in this world. Tithing should be a time when we turn to God and watch as God opens the windows of heaven for us. We receive what we need, not just financially, but we receive the rewards of faith, strength, conviction, spiritual ease, rest, and assurance. I said at the beginning of this sermon that tithing is for us. It's a spiritual discipline. It promotes the spiritual growth that has been stressed in our very own policy handbook. It's a privilege. It connects us to God and makes us partners with God in the reconciling and redeeming and rebuilding of the world. Melchizedek was called the king of peace and righteousness, and Abraham was glad to give to him. If Melchizedek was indeed a forerunner of Christ, we have the pleasure and the duty to give to him, to see his kingdom of peace and righteousness flourish and prosper. Jesus has opened the windows of heaven to us with his own selfless act of giving, not just the tithe, but his whole body, his whole self, body and blood on our behalf. Remembering this, we recall how he gave us all, and how can we ignore the call to bring to God the tithe? Prove me, God says. Try it, God says. Take the challenge and see what God does for you. I dare you. Let us pray. God, we offer to you not just our verbal praise, but our praise and thanksgiving through our tithing. You have blessed us in so many ways, God, with your provision and protection, and we are grateful. Help us this day to accept your challenge and be with us as we await the time when the windows of heaven are flung open wide and all your promised blessings shower down upon us. May we tithe in trust and with joy and without holding back. Amen.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood.
In the blood.
Precious blood of the Lamb. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you truly trusting in his grace's hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood?
In the blood,
in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. From Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood,
in the blood
of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power
in the precious blood.